Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Matthew Kling, gastroenterology specialist at UPMC Hammett. Dr. Kling, welcome back to the Business Spotlight. Can you discuss your background in the road that led you to UPMC Hammett?
I am originally from Erie, kind of born and raised. I did my training outside of Erie, so I went to University of Pittsburgh for college, and then I was in medical school in Philadelphia at Jefferson Medical College. And then I went back to Pittsburgh for my medical training, so I did my residency in internal medicine at UPMC Presbyterian, followed by my fellowship in gastroenterology at UPMC, and then a subspecialty in liver transplant hepatology. So that's my training, and I joined the group here at UPMC Hammett back in July of 2019. So I've been here a little while now, and it was nice to come home.
Was it always your hope to return to Erie?
Yeah, it actually was. It's kind of my plan all along, to come back and serve the community that I grew up in. And it's been nice. I still have family here. So it's good for multiple levels, to be back in Erie.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Why is it important to focus on colorectal cancer illness, and how can it be prevented?
It's very important because colon cancer is very common. A lot of other cancers, are frequently discussed. Breast cancer and prostate cancer there's a lot of awareness about those and a lot of effort put into screening for those, and that's good. But colon cancer is a cancer that affects everybody. It doesn't just affect men or women predominantly, but it's a cancer that can affect everyone. And it's always within the top five list of cancers as far as frequency. So, it's something that's common. It's something that, if found early, is treated adequately, has very good survival, upwards of 90%. And it's also one of the few cancers that we can prevent from ever becoming, a reality. And that's through screening, programs and processes.
Why is early detection so important?
That's a great question. So it's so important because the vast majority of colon cancers follow a very typical pattern, and that's that they start with something called a colon polyp, or an abnormal little collection of cells in the colon. And to try to explain what these are to folks, they say it's basically the equivalent of, a mole on your skin. That's kind of what a polyp is. It's, something that's there that shouldn't be, but not all of these cause problems. Occasionally there's a polyp that will be larger or more aggressive, and if given the opportunity, those polyps can undergo additional changes that can lead to a colon cancer. And that process is thought to take about 10 years. So this isn't something that happens, quickly necessarily for the vast majority of colon cancers. And that's what gives us the opportunity to be able to kind of find these polyps before they can ever become cancers. And to remove them. So, the whole goal of screening for colorectal cancer is not to find cancer per se, but it's to find and remove polyps to, decrease the likelihood of ever developing cancer to begin with. So that's kind of the goal of screening and why it's done. And occasionally we do find cancers in folks who didn't necessarily have symptoms. And in that worst case scenario, you found something, so then you can at least address it and get them into appropriate treatment, hopefully early, when the outcomes are much better than, something that's found very late or very advanced.
How important is it to maintain a proper follow-up schedule after receiving your first colonoscopy?
So, kind of how frequently you need to come back for colonoscopies really determines what's found on the exam. So if somebody has a routine colonoscopy just for screening at, say, age 50, and we find no polyps whatsoever, then they don't come back for 10 years. If we find polyps, depending upon how many, how big they are, what type of features they have, will determine when they need to come back for their follow-up colonoscopy. And the thought is that folks who make polyps seem to continue to make polyps. So we put them into a little bit of a higher risk category and do more frequent surveillance. So in folks who have one or two polyps, they generally come back in 5 years. If they have more than that, then it can be anywhere between 1 to 3 years. And again, that's because, you know, the data has shown us that over time they represent a higher risk group that we like to keep a closer eye on, and it works.
Is there a root cause to colorectal cancer?
Yeah, so, you know, we do know that there are some genetic syndromes that are very specific that, you know, we can follow through families that are, you know, almost 100% guarantee of developing colon cancer, but that is the exception, not the rule. The vast majority of colon cancer seems to be sporadic. You know, I'm sure there's some underlying genetic predisposition to things like this, but the vast majority evolve from these polyps just randomly through, you know, mutations or damage to the cells over time. Things that have been linked to kind of that damage over time are kind of the same things that have been linked to a lot of other cancers. So smoking, alcohol, obesity, have all been linked to higher risk for colon polyps and thereby, you know, higher risk of developing colon cancer. So there are some things, you know, lifestyle-wise that could be adjusted or modified to hopefully decrease risks. And, you know, the most important thing is to look for it and screen for it, you know, because, again, if we find something early, then we have a lot better treatments.
Dr. Kling, let's talk demographics for a moment. Recent studies have shown that one group in particular, African-American males, are at a higher risk of developing colon cancer. Can you comment on that and go over some other demographic stats?
Sure. So that's a good question to expand upon. So using, you know, data that's within the past couple of years, the CDC collects all kind of cancer data about diagnosis and keeps it in these big registries that we can use to kind of, you know, further guide, you know, how we manage our patients and where we devote our resources. And the most common cancer, you know, aside from skin cancer, which is, you know, typically kind of in its own category, but the most common cancer seems to be lung cancer. And then beyond that is breast cancer and prostate cancer. And then colon cancer is number four. So last year there were about 150,000 cases of colon cancer in the United States. And that, you know, lifetime risk boils down to 1 in 23 men in their lifetime will be diagnosed with colon cancer and 1 in 25 women. So it does have a slight increased tendency towards men. You mentioned African Americans being at a higher risk, and that has been shown to be true, about 20% higher risk of colon cancer in African Americans. So there is a tendency towards recommending screening at an earlier age, starting roughly at about 45 years, as opposed to 50, which is the general recommendation for the population.
Doctor, during the early portions of the pandemic, there were reports of people postponing important medical procedures. We're discussing colonoscopies. I would imagine that this was a trend that you were very concerned about and that you would advise people not to postpone these important procedures.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think in the beginning we all felt comfortable, you know, pushing things for a few months because we didn't know how long this was going to last. But, you know, now we're a year out from, you know, kind of the start of the pandemic, and that fear, you know, over a year now can have pretty significant implications if things have been postponed. You know, and I think this kind of brings up an important point that not all screening options require you to even come to a doctor's office. That there's options that can be done, you know, from home, that, you know, may lead to a procedure, but they don't have to. So, you know, I think as far as screening for colon cancer is concerned, there's really no reason that the pandemic should prevent that, or interfere with that.
How can you reduce the risk of colon cancer?
Yeah, so reducing the risk, is basically, knowing some of the risk factors, and I touched on that a little bit, that, you know, lifestyle modification, stop, you know, smoking cessation, avoiding alcohol in excess, healthy diets. There's been some link with red meat and processed meat with colon cancer risk. You know, how true that is, you know, is hard to say. But I think it's been shown repeatedly that, you know, diet, exercise, and a healthy lifestyle decrease your risk of a lot of things, not just colon cancer specifically. So reducing the risk of trying to never have it is adjusting kind of your lifestyle, and then screening. So removing polyps before they have the opportunity to turn into a cancer is something that would be very effective. If we had a high rate of screening in the population, we would see a decrease in colon cancer because we're removing polyps that would never have that chance.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but let's expand on it even more. Not just pandemic related, but a lot of people avoid getting colonoscopy screenings. What are some of the myths about colonoscopies, and what can you tell patients to encourage them to schedule one?
Yeah, so I think the biggest myth is that, you know, colonoscopies are painful, or that you'll be uncomfortable during the procedure. You know, we take a lot of effort to make sure that our patients are comfortable. We use anesthesia providers to give moderate to a deep sedation for the procedure. So I tell most folks the hardest part of the colonoscopy is the bowel prep the day before. And the procedure itself, you're going to sleep through it, not even know it happened. And the recovery, you know, we watch folks generally about a half hour or so after a procedure, and they go home and really have no side effects afterward. You know, there's no dietary restrictions after the procedure or anything that would kind of impact your life moving forward. You know, that said, the prep, that is very important. So the bowel prep is done the day before a colonoscopy. And the goal of the bowel prep is to clean out the stool so we can adequately examine the colon from start to the end. And I tell folks the most important thing about a colonoscopy is actually the bowel prep, because I can't find a polyp if I can't see it. And having the colon cleansed of the stool is very important for that process. The preps, they're ever changing, so we have newer and better ones that are being developed. You know, they do require you to, you know, kind of evacuate your bowels, so they give you diarrhea. I'll be honest about that. And the whole goal is to clean everything out so the lining of the colon is free of stool so we can find those small polyps. We're actually trialing a new bowel prep that just came out that is pills as opposed to, you know, a bad tasting liquid. So, you know, I think that is going to be huge, and it's going to make the bowel prep a lot more palatable. That you take a couple bottles of pills and you drink whatever liquid tastes good to you. You can have Gatorade or just water. And really, that prep, I think, is going to make the process a lot easier for most folks.
Doctor, we've all heard the horror stories about the colonoscopy prep, and that's another reason why people tend to avoid getting them done. But it's not quite as bad as it once was, correct?
Yeah, no, I think we're, you know, there's a lot of recognition that the bowel prep is, you know, it can be unpleasant, and that can present a barrier. And I think the vast majority of people do just fine with it, and it's not as bad as they think it's going to be. And even if it's an unpleasant day, you know, it's once every 10 years, ideally, if there's no polyps, and I think it's worth it. You know, and if it is a huge concern, like I said, there are other options for colon cancer screening, to kind of do a two-step process that if those stool tests are negative, then you don't need a colonoscopy. So, you know, that is an option for some patients.
Dr. Kling, are there other alternatives to a colonoscopy?
Yeah, so for folks who are at a regular or, you know, kind of standard colon cancer risk, there are, you know, multiple options for colon cancer screening. And to define what standard risk is, it's people who don't have a direct family member who's had colon cancer. So if somebody has a mom, a dad, a brother, or a sister who's had colon cancer, that puts them in a higher risk category. And the recommendation for them is to, you know, ideally have a colonoscopy. But say you have your run-of-the-mill somebody just turns 50, no family history of colon cancer, then they're open to a number of potential options. And there's the straight to colonoscopy route, and that's always acceptable and always approved by insurances. If that test is negative, then you're good for 10 years. The other two most common tests that I'll touch on that, you know, we see frequently used in the community are stool-based tests. So one is a stool test you do at home. You put some stool on a card, and that card is looking for blood in the stool. If that test is negative, then you don't need a colonoscopy, and that's considered adequate screening. That test, just the regular stool blood test, needs to be repeated once a year. And I tell folks, you know, these tests are very, very sensitive. If you have occasional hemorrhoids that bleed, that can turn that test positive. And if the test is positive, meaning blood was found in the stool, then the recommendation is to have a colonoscopy to see where that blood came from. The other option is another stool test that looks for not only blood, but it looks for abnormal DNA from cells that could be from polyps or cancer in the stool. And that test is called Cologuard. There's commercials for it all over the place. And it's also a good test. It uses kind of the same approach. You send a stool sample, in this case, to the lab, and the lab will look at that stool for blood and for abnormal cell DNA. And if that test is positive, same thing. You have to have a colonoscopy afterward to, again, try to figure out why that test was positive. If it's negative, the thought is that that's good for 3 years. So if you have a negative Cologuard, you can go 3 years until you have another one. That test, you know, again, it's very good. It's good at finding, you know, cancers, better at finding cancers than it is at finding polyps. And about 50% of folks who come to see us for a positive Cologuard have a normal exam. So there's a lot of false positives with that test. And some people don't like that because then they get nervous about what could be. I had a test and, you know, maybe it's going to be a month until their colonoscopy. So, you know, there's different options, you know, for the general population. The stool tests, they are effective. I tell folks the best screening is the one you're going to do. If you tell me that they're, you know, I don't want to have a colonoscopy, I don't want to deal with the prep, then I would prefer you do a stool test than nothing. But, you know, with the understanding that if the stool test is positive, you have to be willing to have a colonoscopy because it means there's something there that, you know, we should at least look to see if there's something that caused the test to be positive.
Doctor, a little while back, famous Marvel actor Chadwick Boseman died at just 43 years old of colon cancer. And although it's unfortunate to have something like that bring about awareness, has it created more awareness in screening for colon cancer at an earlier age?
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, you hate for the message to get out that way, but, you know, sometimes that's what happens. And, you know, he did bring recognition to colon cancer, and especially colon cancer in younger patients, which we are seeing a slight increase in frequency. So there is a push to decrease the age for, you know, starting of colon cancer screening to 45. You know, there's some disagreement amongst the societies, if you will, that make guidelines. Ultimately, the government's recommendation is still age 50, but the American Cancer Society, as well as the gastroenterology societies, do recommend age 45. So it kind of remains to be seen, but, you know, I do think it brings awareness. It brings awareness that colon cancer isn't just a problem for folks, you know, who are elderly, that we do see it in younger patients. And to find those cancers can be difficult because you're not going to screen, you know, folks in their 30s for colon cancer unless they have a really good reason to do it, meaning a family history or something like that. But I think it does, you know, kind of bring notice to some maybe symptoms that could be seen if you're seeing blood in your stool, even if you're 20, you know, blood in the stool is not normal and it should be something to prompt you, to see a healthcare provider to have that evaluated. You know, we're here for more than just screening. You know, if there's symptoms, you know, that are coming up, then, you know, by all means, they should be evaluated.
Dr. Kling, earlier you discussed demographics about colorectal cancer screening. Can you comment on who ideally needs to be screened?
Yeah, so the general screening guidelines are, you know, age 50 to age 75. So that everybody agrees on that, that patients are appropriate for screening if they're between the age of 50 to 75. And then they're offered, you know, their choice of screening modality. Like I said, you know, I think the trend definitely is towards, you know, colonoscopy up front, just to make things easier. You know, I think it's common that, you know, the blood test could be missed once over the span of 10 years. And again, that's a stool blood test. You got to do it once, you know, once a year, in order to be effective. The Cologuard once every 3 years. So that's still something you have to think about a lot more common or a lot more frequently than once every 10 years. And again, those tests get folks in to us for colonoscopies if they need it. When to stop colon cancer screening, generally speaking, around age 75, to 85. If a patient is otherwise healthy and they're 80 years old, then, you know, it's okay to do additional colon cancer screening on them. 85, generally, it's considered that you don't need additional screening because the vast majority of people who would develop colon cancer would have had it by that age. So we stop screening, you know, in all folks by age 85. Somebody who's had colonoscopies and has had polyps found, like I said, they need surveillance. So they're not in screening anymore because they've already had polyps. And about a third of people that have a colonoscopy will have polyps that are found. And like I said, depending upon how many polyps they are, or how large they are, and what the cells look like in the pathologist's review, will determine when they need follow-up colonoscopies. But the general rule is somewhere between 3 and 5 years, you'll have additional colonoscopies to see if you're developing more polyps. Folks who are higher risk, meaning they have a family member who's had colon cancer, they start screening earlier, and it depends how old their family member was when they were diagnosed. If somebody's, you know, an example I use is if a patient's mom was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 45, then that patient should start screening at age 35. So it's 10 years before the family member was diagnosed. So that's kind of how we decide when to start. But for the vast majority of people, as of now, it's age 50. Like I said, there's a push towards 45 maybe being a better target. African Americans, there's also a push towards starting at age 45. If somebody is really interested in having screening, you know, prior to age 50, say they're 46 and they're worried about it, you know, it's something that if we, you know, talk to the insurance companies, generally we can have approved. So, you know, that 45 to 50 is still a little bit of a coin toss, but certainly by age 50, everybody should start screening.
Dr. Kling, can you discuss the technological advancements in gastroenterology that have been made at UPMC Hammett when it comes to discovering and treating this form of cancer?
Yeah, so, you know, I said one of the things we've just started is a trial or a participating with a new bowel prep that's just been approved. You know, I think the biggest barrier to folks a lot of times is the bowel prep, and it's also one of the most important things to have in a quality exam. So using this bowel prep as opposed to others, I think, is a change that we've just made within the past month or two. Technology-wise, we have the most advanced scopes on the market that are high definition to give us the best chance of finding the smallest polyps. Like I said, the polyp that's removed will never turn into a cancer because it's not there anymore. So doing everything we can to try to find polyps when they're small is our best bet. You're right. We do have a strong team here for the unfortunate circumstances that somebody is found to have a colon cancer. You know, we have a good surgical team that gets them in immediately. We have an oncology team that helps guide their chemotherapy if necessary. And in very complicated cases, that's the beauty of being associated with or part of UPMC, is that we can easily get patients in to advanced care if necessary down in Pittsburgh. And having those resources available, and the very rare chance that something is beyond what can be managed here at Hammett, it's great to have those relationships to be able to get patients in as soon as possible.
Dr. Kling, we thank you so much once again for being on with us today. It is very much appreciated. Any parting thoughts on Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month?
Yeah, I think just having people think about it and be aware of it is the most important thing. It's a cancer that's very common, unfortunately, and I think that if we were better at, having widespread screening, the amount of colon cancer we see would be falling. It's a cancer that's very treatable when it's found early, if not preventable entirely by having polyps removed. So I think, if anything, I hope I brought awareness to it's the best cancer to try to prevent. There's a few that we're good at trying to prevent, and breast cancer and colon cancer are two of the ones that we really do a good job at. And as far as screening, the best screening test is the one that you're going to get done. So whether that's a stool test or you prefer a colonoscopy, they all at the end of the day are better than not doing anything at all. I think I would leave you with that message.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.